Let's turn in the scriptures to Revelation and chapter 6. In Revelation chapter 6, we'll be reading verses 1 through 17. Revelation chapter 6 and beginning in verse 1. These are God's words. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. When he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine." When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beasts of the earth. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren, who would be killed as they were, was completed. I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. The great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Those are God's words. Remember in chapter 5 what great joy there is for the church as Christ, the Lamb of God, who alone is worthy, comes to open the seals. In this chapter, he opened 6 of the first 7 seals. And how are we supposed to understand these seals? If you remember, it's the same way as we understood when we went through the book of Daniel and the visions there. We understand these things historically. And so that the seals here represent various historical providences that concern the church following the time of the ascension of Jesus Christ. That is the historical interpretation of the book of Revelation, and that is contrary to the last 250 years of history from today, or before today, where many in the church have gone away from that interpretation. But just like the figures of the great statue made in Daniel, of the different metals representing the different national powers from the Assyrians, the Greeks and Assyrians, the Medes and Persians, the Babylonians, and then the Romans. And so here are these figures representing things in the early history of the church, even perhaps during the church period, during the biblical period and after the ascension. But for us this evening, it's not good to go into detail since we're only spending a short time, but it's good to remember that Christ is victorious. If we think of even the saints who have persecuted here in the passage under the fifth seal, that Christ is victorious, and he has been found worthy to open the seals, and later we'll see the trumpets, etc., the bowls. He's on the throne, and he's victorious, and so we worship him. And that's where our comfort lies. And that's the big picture of the beginning parts of Revelation. He's sovereign on the throne, and he's victorious. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you praise that your Son has won the victory over sin and death. That is the eternal judgment, even Hades. That we, in union with him, are victorious in him. That even when your children, your people, Christians, are persecuted and killed for their faith because they confess their faith with their mouths and they stand on the truths of the Scriptures, we see comfort here that they are still dressed in white robes and are found in glory, righteous, with the righteousness of Christ alone. And such are all of us who come in faith to your Son. We are covered with the robe of righteousness, that our sins, though they be as scarlet, they will be made as white as snow. And to the rest, we see here they will be judged. They will be judged to no longer have peace, but to be destroyed. And so, Father, today we pray for your church throughout the world. Pray for the future of the church, that you would bring reformation and repentance as we've been studying in Chronicles. We pray for those in our presbytery, congregations, who don't have a pastor. We pray for the Casper, Wyoming church, though they do have stated supply now. We give you praise for that man and ask that you would bless his time there, the short time that he's there, and provide still a pastor for them. We pray for the Denison congregation in Columbia and the works that are trying to begin in Oklahoma City and Houston. There's a few families who are interested. The San Antonio church that is weak. And we think of the congregation in Quinter. And know that there are many struggles in these congregations of being small and weak, but we remember that one Christ is victorious. Your Holy Spirit is strong to do a great work and can do a great work. Even in an aging congregation or a congregation without a pastor, you can still work. And so, Father, we lay our trust in you about, with those congregations, that you'll provide exactly what they need. Father, there are many instances in the congregations in our presbytery where there are struggles in marriages and pastors who are in sessions, who are trying to help and encourage those husbands and wives to look to Christ and to love each other. We pray that you would bring that about throughout our presbytery and our denomination. We ask as well that you would cause our churches to love you. And where there is need of repentance, you would bring that about. Where there's need of reform, you would bring that about. For we confess that we are not perfect ourselves. You would change our hearts, and you would change our minds, and our desires, and our emotions, all that they would be holy as your Son is holy. You have made us a royal priesthood, a holy nation of your church, of your people. And so, Father, we ask that you would bring those truths to bear and make that visual to our eyes so that we would see it, be confident in your Spirit and the working that you do. We pray for our congregation in particularly, growth in our holiness and piety and knowledge of the Scriptures, not for piety's sake or holiness' sake, but for your glory and our good. We know that when we are following after you and turning from sin, that you bless your people. And so we pray that we would be such a people as you work by your Spirit in us. We pray also that you would grow us in number, for we have struggles with our finances, even though we rest upon the fact that you provide always for us and always have since this congregation began. We pray that you would provide wisdom about a new place to worship, or even how we might worship here in a better way or with more space. Father, you can work the details out, of course, and you know exactly what we need, and so we pray that you'll bring it about at the right time. We pray that you would grow us so that we not just have more finances for financial sake, so we might even be able to support missionaries, our presbytery, our synod, and all that without worry or concern that we might be spending too much. We pray that we would never have to think that we're spending too much on your kingdom. And so bless us and make us to be good stewards, especially the deacons and the elders working with the deacons in that. We pray that we'd be able to help people in our community, just as we see in the gospel so many times people being helped and encouraged. And by being helped physically, you open up avenues to tell the gospel and people are saved. We pray that it would be an opportunity and bring that about for us as well. And then, Father, we do ask that you would protect us from the evil one, of wolves that might come in, of false teachers, even from false teaching of myself or Dave or any other. You would keep us on the path of your word and the foundation standing upon it of your apostles and prophets, of which Christ is the cornerstone. That truth would reign here because Christ, you reign in our hearts. These are our prayers. We ask that you would answer all of them and all the other prayers we have that we're thinking about. Answer according to your will, for our good, for your glory. We pray that we would trust all your providences, whether they be easy or hard. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.